You're listening to Tucson Tech Talk with your host, Aaron Moss, on Tucson Business Radio X.
Welcome to this edition of Tucson Tech Talk with Aaron and Sherry. Good to have you with us today. My name is Aaron. I'm your host. I'm the owner of Computer Doctor of Tucson.
I'm Sherry Barker, your co-host. I'm a digital marketing strategist, web designer, and founder of Review Betty, an online review management service.
And together we bring you Tucson Tech Talk. This is the show where we talk about technology and business and how the two affect each other. We're broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X studio in the Stewart Title Building on Broadway. The theme for our show today is technology in photography. And with that, we have two guests with us today. Our first guest is a photographer that has been working in the industry since the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. He's always learning how to create new products for his customers and to refine his skills. He creates green screen photos, art photos. You're going to have to help me with this word.
Vignetting.
Vignetting photos. Okay, you're going to tell us about that.
Sure.
And montages and collages and videos for all occasion. He's also created three documentary films. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Russell Johnson to the program.
Thanks. It's really good to see you all today.
Okay. We also have with us a photographer that has been a professional photographer for the past 17 years. She specializes in personal and professional branding for entrepreneurs. She has a background in fine art and
Portraiture.
See, I'm not a photographer.
All these fancy French words.
portraiture and photojournalistic style wedding photography. Her emphasis is on capturing a unique essence and translating that to film. So that emphasis on capturing the unique essence and translating that on film. She helps with to stand out in the world. I am totally messing up your thing. She helps you to stand out with world-class stop the scroll imagery that draws in and connects you with your dream clients. I am so sorry for
That's
messing
fine.
Up. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sloan Enat.
Thank you.
To
so
the
nice
program.
To be here.
Okay. She's with Sloan Enat Photography. And Russell Johnson is with
Perfect Look Photography.
Perfect Look Photography. Thank you so much. So I'd like to start off the program today, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, the history of photography. Photography used to be a very chemical business, you know. So you know, there was a film, there was flashes, there were lights, there was actually a lot of technology that went into that. But nowadays, you know, just about anybody, it seems, can be a photographer. Because almost everyone has in their possession at any
now
time.
Now you're getting in trouble.
you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. I've been shooting. I started shooting film and doing weddings all across the country using film. Would send my film to LA. Had a dark room. And you're right. Now everybody can pick up a camera and they're using all these different. Different programs to layer to get the look of film while shooting digital. So that's very interesting. I still think, why not just shoot film? I mean, digital is amazing and you can do amazing things with it, but film has a timeless quality that people are often trying to replicate. So yeah, it's definitely changed a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of replicators out there. And do you think any of them do a good job, or can you really tell the difference between a replicated and an original? What do you think?
I think it's getting better all the time. I mean, a lot of the new programs are very sophisticated and you're getting better results. I did video and film in the 90s when everything was, you know, actual film. I just sent it to get processed and all that. But I've fallen in love with digital photography and I think it's made it very exciting. And I've got about $5,000 worth of software on my computer to make beautiful things that way. I think the flexibility is endless, but I agree with you. There is something special and unique about, you know, classic film photography, and I don't think there's anything quite as good.
There's nothing quite as good, yeah. But I also agree with you. It is so endless what you can do with the programs and with all the different digital cameras. It's really amazing.
One thing that I don't miss is I was enrolled in the fine arts school at U of A for photography, and one thing that I don't miss is being in that dark room down there, because they really, the professors got very frustrated with me because I refused to spot tone my photos. Mm-hmm. But it was partly because that wasn't on my picture. That was because of their crappy dark room and all the air. They didn't have proper air filters, and you couldn't get the negative from the cleaning to the enlarger without getting tons of dust on it. And I was like, I'm not, you know, that's yeah. not.
Well,
that's
now, not,
and now
just
you don't
do
have
that.
To do that.
Well, actually, now you do it now in Photoshop. You'll do it in Photoshop or Lightroom. So it just depends on what you like to do. If you like to sit in front of the computer for hours, then it's great, because they're amazing. They're all just tools, right? Mm-hmm. They're all just tools to help with your creativity. Mm-hmm. So whether they come in a physical form or on the computer, we're lucky to have all of them.
Right. Yeah. Now, photography is an art, you know, just, you know, lots of things, you know, that when it comes to technology, the art is always, you know, mixed in with it. And now the two of you have different specialties. So if I can just throw a question between the two of you, what is your favorite thing to photograph? I know you concentrate on branding, and I know you do a lot of weddings and like modeling.
I do a lot of model photography. I go to LA every month or two and do model portfolios, and I've gotten some covers of magazines that way. I think very favorite is modeling, but my second favorite is weddings and quinceañeras. I love the kind of collaborative process with a couple to make something beautiful and magical for them that's unique for them. They're both great. I think I slightly prefer the model photography because I like working collaboratively with the model to create something magnificent and beautiful that they can be really proud of, and kind of know what their strengths are and their best look, their best angles and all that. It's a collaborative, interesting, creative process that way.
Okay. And Sloan, you do a lot of branding. So can you tell us more the art behind the branding?
Yeah. So it's actually really interesting because I get to really know my client. I start with a questionnaire. So I know who they are, what their business is, how they're trying to come across and convey themselves to their market. So say I recently worked with a woman who's an aesthetic injector, but she also loves yoga. She looks like a little fairy. So we went to the botanical gardens and we photographed her there and we did yoga there. But then we also photographed her injecting and in her space. So all of these photographs represent all different facets of who she is. And everybody now wants to know who they're working with before they work with them, right? They want to know the personality of the person and see if they vibe with them. So through that imagery for their websites and social media and promotion, it's just a really nice way to get to know someone and help them represent themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's more than just a point and shoot type of job.
Correct.
Because, you know, you can go on vacation, see a big monument, and just have anybody walk them. Oh, can you take our picture? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what are they going to do? They're going to point the picture of you. Okay, I'll give you three shots of a close up, a back up, and then maybe a wide one to get this monument or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that may be the extent of what the average, you know, person may know about photography, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a real science behind it. You had mentioned about knowing the photographer. I know when my sister got married, the photographer was practically running the show. He was calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
He was directing where everyone is, from the hotel all the way to you know, to the event, to everything. And he was calling the shots. Russ, you did my wedding.
Yes,
you know,
I did.
There was a lot of you know, arranging there. You know, mm-hmm. you have to set up these shots, and basically you're really calling the shots. You know,
if they don't get the goods.
Yeah, you don't get the couple won't get what they want if someone's not directing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that ability to take charge, you know, does go a long way. So, in line with that, when you're actually doing your work, what is your typical, you know, setup? What does a photo shoot look like?
It really depends upon the subject and what the goal is and who's paying you. You know, if it's a commercial, or you're doing photos for a magazine, you have to find out what the, you know, customer wants, who's, you know, paying you. And if you're selling glasses or clothes or makeup, I mean, you have to really individualize that as much as possible and find out what their objective is. And then you've got to sit down with a model, you know, with a modeling photography anyway, and figure out how to make that happen. You know, if you're working with a couple, usually it's the bride who's driving a lot of it, but sometimes the groom's family has input too. I try to meet with the bride and groom beforehand and find out what they like. In your case, with your wife, she had a bunch of great pictures from Pinterest that really helped us come up with a vision for what you wanted accomplished. And we set up some real specific shots to match what her vision was. And I think it turned out really well because of that. But you got to know the person. You know, my other job, I'm a licensed mental health counselor. And I use those skills in my photography all the time. I want to really understand the person. I kind of interview the people and get a feel for what their goal is and what their dream is and their vision and make that happen.
All right. And Sloan, what is a branding photo shoot look like?
It just depends. I could say almost the same thing. It really depends on the client. So like I said, I also, for another example, worked with a fitness person. So we did stuff on a bridge where he could run. We went out into the mountains. It just depends on the person and what they're trying to convey. And then I will find a space and an aesthetic that will work within his website to bring his vision alive.
Have you ever seen any terrible pictures taken by other people, and you say, "Oh my goodness, they just..."
One of my pet peeves about wedding photography in particular is that you really have to talk to the guests and tell the guests to like let the photographer take the picture, and then you guys can take pictures because everybody's eyes are like looking at different lenses, and it's terrible. The end result is just everybody's eyes are looking in different directions.
At our wedding, we asked everybody to put their phones and their cameras away, especially during the ceremony, because as a photographer, I shot many weddings for years. And when cell phones started becoming really popular, everyone gets in the way of the photographer. Or there's that one uncle who has the fancy camera who's like trying to take pictures while you're trying to do your job. And you're like, "I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you not to do that." But now with phones, you really need to. You have to be, or else every one of your beautiful wedding photos where you're kissing the final kiss and you've got 25 cell phones in front of the photograph. It's awful.
And their flashes can ruin your photo because they can overexpose your pictures if everyone's got their flash and their phone going off at once.
So if someone was trying to, you know, since you both have experience doing photography for weddings, quinceañeras, you know, these big family events, if somebody wanted to hire a photographer, obviously we would send them to you. But what should they look for? What are some questions that need to be answered when someone is trying to hire a photographer for one of these family events?
I think the first thing that you want to do is look at their portfolio of work and make sure that you like their aesthetic, because everybody shoots in a different way and has a different vision. And you also want to look for consistency throughout their portfolio. So you're not just seeing like one good shot from every wedding. You want to see like a full wedding for one. I always think that some of the best ways to hire people are through referrals. So then you know that the person comes with, you know, that they're good. And then figure out what their packages are and make sure that your needs are going to be met ahead of time.
I think you should look at their photos and, like she said, their whole portfolio. But also you really need to find out if you can collaborate with this person, that they're a person who will work with you. And, you know, you don't want them to take over so much that your vision isn't being reflected in the photos. They really need to communicate with you and have a compatibility and flexibility, I think. You know, somebody who will, grandma shows up at the last minute and we want pictures of grandma. You just change your little schedule and you make that happen so that they get the little magical moments, you know, recorded that they're wanting. It's about making the customer happy, customer service, 100%. And I've adapted and changed things many, many times midstream because the situation changed or it was raining or whatever. You have to have a plan B, C, D, and E, you know.
So in the hiring process, you mentioned, you know, personal referrals are always great. And now, as far as equipment goes, you know, I have my limited knowledge of what I know about photography equipment, but What at the very minimum, what should a photographer, a decent professional photographer, have?
Well, you know, professional level DSLR camera, at least for me, I have a Canon EOS 5D Mark III, and I think it's perfect. It has 4K video. It's got a really good resolution. You know, if you're doing really large weddings, you want a big, you know, group scene, the real, you know, wide angle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a lot better with a camera like that. I'm very happy with that particular camera for wedding photography. Mm-hmm. But I always have at least two or three cameras with me. You want a backup. If cameras break, cameras jam, things can go wrong.
Extra batteries.
Oh yeah, I have five sets batteries have been every issue time.
For me. Lots of batteries
for the flashes and the cameras.
Yeah,
you know, I put one of those extra battery packs on there. So, I mean, you just want to make sure you don't run out of electricity and that you have enough capacity on your flash drives. I have a 64 gigabyte compact flash on my camera. Mm-hmm. I can take thousands and thousands of pictures for every event. So that way I've got to make sure that I'll never run out of space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've taken 1,500 photos for an average wedding.
1,500 mm-hmm. photos.
Yep. And how many good ones?
Oh, I would say I do is I pick the really best ones.
Yeah.
And I'll take, edit maybe 400. Yeah. Out of the 1,500, and then they can pick the top ones they
and
want
prints
from.
And that's because you're good. But most people, if they took 1,500 photos, they might get 50.
Oh, I get a lot more than that. Well, I always take two or three shots for the same thing in case people close their eyes and people looking away. So I always have backups for my backups. I think redundancy is really, really important in photography. It's so easy to mess up a really important special moment. It's only coming once.
And you always have that one person that every time the camera clicks, they have their eyes closed. Like, we all have that one friend that you can never get their picture
totally
because their eyes are closed in every picture.
Yep.
It's the flash.
That's true.
So let's talk about price. How do photographers set their prices and in such a way that it can say, well, that's their price, but it's worth it? You know, how does a photographer set their prices?
Well, I'm probably one of the cheapest photographers in Tucson in terms of the price, because I think people should be able to access it. It's kind of a values thing. I don't think that price should block people from having access to good professional photography. Based on what I can tell from talking to a bunch of photographers here in town, I charge about half what the other people charge. And it's just kind of I try to look at it as a volume thing versus making a lot for each job. And creating loyal customers. I think if I, I charge about $800 for a big wedding, and while I've seen people charge $1,500, $2,000, and I think it's too much. I don't think it's fair. I actually spend more time editing the photos than I do taking the photos.
I believe that.
Yeah, average evening, like a wedding, I'll do 12 hours of video editing and photo editing for maybe 4 or 5 hours of actually taking pictures.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Sloan? Price settings.
I'm on the opposite end of that. I'm more on the expensive side. But
there's a little more complexity to what you do.
Well,
as far as locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean it's value. It's perceived value. It's also if I were to charge half of what I charge. And broke down the time editing, because there is quite a bit of editing on the back end, plus the scouting, the time spent talking with people, I would be making minimum wage. And for me, that's that with how much money I have invested in my gear, with all of the time that I have spent learning. I mean, this is the thing that I think is really interesting is... you know, people say, well, you're just showing up and shooting and then you're gone. And it's like, no. I have like
tip of the iceberg.
Like this gentleman next to me, $5,000 worth of just programs on your computer, not to mention your $7,000 worth of
and
camera equipment.
How many hours did you spend learning?
And how many hours did I spend learning how to shoot?
Exactly.
And you're bringing your skills, your everything. So I believe as a photographer that there are the right clients for me and I am the right photographer for them. And I am not for everybody. And I'm that's okay with me. And it's not because of price. I'm just, my work is going to be different than somebody else's work. And you want to work with the person that you feel good with and you feel can convey the vision you're trying to achieve.
Can you tell us a little bit about the background of that makes you the photographer that you are today? How does your background help you with your clients?
Well, there's a few different things. I mean, I've been in the beauty industry for many, many years, about 20 years. So I have an aesthetic ability to look at a person and help them look their best and feel their best. And bring that out in them, and then also match the clothing, the style, the location. So there's that. And I've been an artist for 20 years. I think that, you know, my father, my grandfather, I've always been, they're both stone sculptors and painters. And so I've been around art, studied art, enjoyed art for most of my life, and I'm always looking to bring that into my shoots and create something very unique that's based on what the person is looking for.
That's great.
And so this is an art. So what I know about art is it is just that. It is art. Okay. It's not right. It's not wrong. And you have to be able to, and, you know, I try to be a good teacher, you know, of things, you know, in technology and other things. But teaching, for example, is an art. Okay, you have to know how the person learns, and then you have to formulate something that would be agreeable to them. Okay, so when you take that into a technical skill, or you take that either into a musical skill or a photography skill, you have to take those things into account. There's a technical ability, and then there's that vision of art that you would have. So the shot that you're trying to get may not be technically possible. It would look great artist-wise, but it's just not technically possible. Have you ever had a situation where you really wanted that shot, but you just couldn't do it?
Things are becoming less and less technically possible all the time. It's the new software can make almost anything happen on the photo. I mean, you can change it, manipulate it, move it around, make people look better than they really do. You know, I call my business Perfect Look because I'm really trying to bring out the best look for that person. Still looks like them. But, you know, that little mole or the little extra wrinkle around
enhanced.
Their eyes. Enhanced. I want them to look beautiful, especially for weddings. I think it should be a magical day where you look like a movie star and that it will create wonderful memories the rest of your life.
My wife did look like a movie star.
She did.
Awesome. What you did with the photos.
Yeah, she did. She
I mean, good. Some of these photos you can put right on the one of our key photos that I know you did a lot of work. Put butterflies all around it. You can put.
Yeah,
I felt like you can put that picture on the cover of a magazine.
You could. And I've got covers of magazines, which I used to do lots of model photography for different companies, magazines. I've gotten covers of quite a few magazines over the years. I've traveled a lot internationally. I've done photography in the Far East and Europe and other places, South America, for magazines and as a freelance photographer. And it's been a wonderful adventure. But I really do like making a magical experience for the customer that's memorable, that will make them happy the rest of their life, I'm hoping.
Okay. We're going to be talking a little bit about how photography affects businesses, because Sloan, you do a lot of branding. So when we talk about branding, it's what people see from a business perspective. We're coming into a very, very visual society where if people don't like what they see on the first look, they're gone. They're moving on to the next picture. Okay. You take that, your Facebook feed. Yes. I'm 41 years old. I use Facebook. The Facebook feeds or Instagram or any of these social medias, if something is not does not make them.
It's got to grab you.
Yeah. If it doesn't grab you that time, then hey, there's
keep
a problem.
Scrolling.
So what can happen as far as improving someone's appearance online?
So I think that there's so many people in the world, you cannot please everybody, right? There's a certain client for everybody. And if you get really clear on who your client is as a business, who you want to attract, who your ideal customer is, and basically create your messaging and your visuals around appealing to that person, obviously it's going to become a broader range of people that you're going to connect with. But for me, that's what branding photography is all about and why it's important for a business, because you cannot, you're not going to attract every single customer. Now, someone like you, you work with computers, everybody has a computer. However, you still want to work with somebody that you like, right? And somebody who you're, you know, you have an affinity with. So, but especially for like, say a coach or that type of a business, you really want to know the person that you're going to be working with.
And it's important to target your marketing to one person
and speak to one person.
Or you'll be talking to no one.
Or you'll be talking to no one, exactly.
So it's not it's a bad idea to market for the masses.
Especially visually. I mean, if you look at Apple, if you look at their website, if you look at their commercials that they run, they're targeting one person. They have an avatar of a very specific age and they're going after a very specific market. That doesn't change, that doesn't stop them from selling billions of Apple devices. Like, obviously there are many, many different types of people buying Apple devices, but their marketing is targeted to one specific person.
When my wife turned me on to Apple phones, I felt like I had to become a different person.
Right. You had to become super hip.
Yeah. I felt sleeker and cooler.
Did you feel younger?
Yep. That's when you funny. Know marketing is working.
Yeah. Yeah. So that does make a lot of sense that they do that. But you can apply that just about in any business.
To any business. Yeah. Absolutely. Because there's 20 people probably in Tucson that fix computers, but they all have a different feel. I don't know if there's 20.
135.
Wow. Really?
This is competition.
Shops.
Are you serious?
I've counted.
Wow. That's crazy. That's a lot. That's more than I would have thought.
It's one shop that really, really hates me. I keep getting his customers for some reason. they just call me. I don't know why.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, Aaron's the best computer tech I've ever met in my life. He can fix anything.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
How long have we known each other now?
About 7 or 8 years.
About seven or eight years. Yeah. Fixing those computers, yeah.
He's very good.
We built them. He built my computer
from scratch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's neat.
Now, if we can go a little bit more of like the technological advancements of photography. So there have been, we talked about the chemical, we talked about, you know, the technological advancements, but what advancements have there been in like the last 10 or 15 years? So the two of you, so you've been doing it 17 years and you've been since 1990.
Yeah, I was doing it.
In the past 10, 15 years, what advancements have been made?
The resolution for both video and still camera is just amazingly increased and improved. There's always new lenses coming out, improvements in the lenses. The hardware side has been amazing. Canon, for example, is making dedicated video cameras that are amazing. You know, you can film a whole feature-length film with a DSLR camera, and there's lots of people out there making movies just with that equipment. And the quality is better than you get with a typical video camera, because you can put any Canon lens on there and do effects that were never possible before. So just amazing. And then all the software, oh my goodness, it's just exponentially better. Things like Lightroom and the newest version.
There's so many just for Mac.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Aperture,
of course.
Lightroom. There's another new one just out now.
I like using Adobe After Effects for making special effects in the video, things like that. Hmm. But there's some amazing new programs, and the sky's the limit. You can literally make anything happen. You know, that's why I like doing green screen, because I can put new backgrounds in that were never there in the first place for both still and video.
Okay. So you mentioned the Adobe products. So give us maybe a short list of the programs that you use.
Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, Adobe Lightroom. I use Portrait Professional. I use several really obscure programs that do obscure things, like putting butterflies in the picture. But I use a lot of Adobe products, I think, probably more than anything else.
Same thing, Sloan?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Now there's an open source free software that's you know, for people that don't want to invest all the money into Adobe, there's GIMP, which is a free download, and people can do a lot of stuff with that and open Photoshop files with it.
Wow.
So it's more accessible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when someone hires a photographer, then what are some of the boundaries, I guess you can say? So you can say, okay, I'll do this job, but this has got to be in place. You know, what are some of those things that that people can maybe have in place when they're hiring a photographer? Or the parameters, like the services that you offer your clients.
Talking about the scope of work?
Yeah,
like scope. How do you
like
narrow down the scope
what would
of work?
Be included? What can someone expect?
I do things that a lot of other photographers don't do. For example, I will give them a CD with all the photos on it so they never have to come back and get more prints from me. I always believe that you should give ownership of the product to the client. Some people never give the original photos back to the client. They don't have give them the digital photos. I give them everything. So they
some
can
of them
make
hold
own.
It hostage, right?
Yes, exactly. And I never do that. I think if it's your photos, you should own it and use it however you see fit. I do encourage them to have me make the prints because I do the best paper, the best print, you know, ink, all the top line products. If you go to Walmart or you know, CVS or something, you're going to get really substandard product and it won't last. I call them 10-year photos. They start cracking and things because they're using poor quality materials. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I believe that they should have the product. And I make copies relatively inexpensively. So say, for example, I make you a nice video on a DVD. I'll make an extra copy for $25. I've seen people charge $250 for the same thing. So, I've made 10 copies for people for $25 each. Mm-hmm. And other people will be charging thousands and I'm charging them hundreds. So okay. I really believe it should be egalitarian and accessible to people and that anyone should be able to have really beautiful photos for their events.
Okay.
Always fascinating and always ahead of the game. The computer doctor is Aaron Moss on Tucson Business Radio X.
And how do you make someone smile? Now this question came from
Sloan and I have been discussing this a lot. Yeah.
How do you make somebody smile?
It depends on the situation, but give them a thought, give them something to think about. Most people do seem to smile. I only have had a few clients who it was really hard to get that smile out of them. And so then I have them close their eyes and give them something, ask them to think of something that is very joyful for them and think about it and then open their eyes. And usually that gets it going.
You could even have like a video of the Three Stooges going to make them laugh, and everybody every time somebody gets slapped, you capture them while they're laughing. That's what I was told. You know, your your smile is the most natural when you're thinking of something funny. Okay,
yeah.
So every time we take the pictures here from the studio from the shows, I always think of something funny. Because you'll get your most natural smile that way. Have you found out to be the case?
Well,
instead of just cheese?
I approach it a little differently. Yeah. You know, like I said before, I'm a mental health counselor. And I try to use some of those clinical skills to make people feel comfortable, to make them feel good about themselves, to focus on their positives, to build them up psychologically. You know, I think some of the best photos I ever took were when I talked to the person for 20 minutes before we did any photos. We just sounded, well, what are you going to accomplish today? And what's your best look? And kind of celebrate them as a subject, as a person, and make them feel confident and happy. You know, I've worked on some movies with some of my friends who are independent filmmakers, and they used to call me the therapist for the actors because I would get the actors really happy and confident before they did their scene, and that there were much better scenes. And it's the same thing with photography or videos or documentary. You want to make the person feel comfortable, make them feel good about themselves, feel confident. Some people are insecure about their looks. And if you can really build up their body image and say, you know, you look great today, you're going to knock it out of the ballpark today, and they'll walk in there and they'll give you great photos.
All right.
Yeah, it's definitely all about connecting with the person and helping them to feel comfortable, for sure.
All right. So that's how we make people smile. Now, here's another question that one of our listeners had submitted to us. How do you determine what a person's good side is?
You look at both sides and see which one jump out.
What he said.
you can always tell.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Everybody has a good side.
If you look at your face and you do, like, yeah, just look at half your face at a time.
Yeah.
You can definitely, like, yeah, everybody has, like, an open,
yeah,
more
everybody
open
has
side,
one side that's a little more shut down.
Right. And also, more, look at the symmetry. You know, nobody's perfectly symmetrical except for me, Brad Pitt, or something. But you kind of look at what side's a little more symmetrical and more balanced and proportioned, and everybody has one.
So one side is more, okay, I know what the symmetry is, what symmetry mm-hmm. means. So the whatever is on one side is the same exact measurement and angle.
More regular features, cheekbones, eyebrows. You look at the balance of everything. And which side is basically, it jumps out at you. You can see.
We're all looking at each other.
So which side?
Everybody, well, there's only like 2% of the population that is perfectly symmetrical. So if you look at your ears, you can mm-hmm. see one is a little bit lower, and that's the side that's a little bit lower. Your eyes a little more shut down. Your mouth goes down a little bit more mm-hmm. on one side.
Okay, I'm looking at myself.
Well, you know, our ears are covered up, so we can't see.
I kind of have a droop on my left side, so so maybe this is my better side right here.
It is.
So,
that's your better side.
It is your better side, you're right.
So the non-droopy side. Okay, but that's just me.
Somebody needs everybody to do a study whether it's more left than right.
Everybody's got
is it? Like a greater percentage of the population has the.
I always felt I looked fine, just straight on. So you know, lots of my pictures, I'm straight. I'm not like this or like this. I'm straight on.
You're always better with 3/4 view though, because if it's straight on, you look like a prison photo, you know.
Mugshot.
Oh well, if you get the straight shot and the side shot,
little angle gives it a little more depth and just use your best side to be the angle you're showing.
All right. So I'd like to talk a little bit about social media because a lot of the social medias out there are highly visual based. People go there for the stories, for the connections, and what someone sees, you know, kind of takes an express right to their mind and how they think. And sometimes art and pictures of photography can actually transform the way a person feels about something, or the way something is even viewed. So, have you ever tried to accomplish that in your photography, where you're trying to make a statement?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
you want to find out what they're trying to say. What is the statement? What are you looking for? You know, I did some shots for a model who was trying to get into a movie that was based in the jungle. So he got a bunch of little fatigues, little jungle shorts, and had her take pictures with guns, machetes, and different things to make her look like the badass she wanted to be for the movie. And it really helped her get, she got the role. So mm-hmm. I think it obviously worked. You know, but you really got to find out what is their mission here? What are they trying to say?
Right. Have you, by the way, what are the names of the films? You had mentioned that you had done some
documentary. I did a film about my brother's career as a track star. Then I did another one about Native American substance use recovery. Mm-hmm. And then I did another one about stigma against mental illness, you know, a mental health counselor. So anyway, those were all little, 45-minute, hour-long documentaries. Mm-hmm. They were really fun projects. I want to do a lot more. When I retire, when I get a little older, I've got a whole list of things I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Are these documentaries available for people
to
see?
Well, I've got a short version on YouTube for it's called Never Too Late to Win, the Eric Johnson story. It's about my brother. Okay. My brother's been in a whole bunch of movies. He knows lots of movie stars, and he also is probably one of the winningest track stars in Masters track, older guy track. Mm-hmm. And he's got all kinds of national world records. And it's interviews and video clips and slideshows of some of his achievements. But he's got, last time I heard, 2,200 medals, probably 30 trophies. He was Utah Athlete of the Year 7 years in a row. So he's a really high-end athlete and very impressive guy to see. And I had a lot of fun making his documentary.
Wow. So Sloan, where can what have been in the last 17 years? What have been some of your funnest, most exciting projects, photography projects that you've worked on?
For when I first started out in business, I had a business partner who was one of my best friends. It was before we had kids, and we shot weddings in tandem together. So we started traveling around the United States. We did weddings in New York, in Chicago, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, and we just had a blast because we didn't have a ton of responsibility at that time. So we would go and photograph and then hang out for like a week and explore the city that we were in. New York was super fun. So that was a really, really great time in life. I shot a bunch of really beautiful weddings in Los Angeles. The most memorable one was an Indian and Chinese fusion.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. She wore like four different dresses. She did it. They had a traditional tea, high tea. It was on the beach. That was really beautiful. But I've really, really enjoyed doing the branding because I just get to meet so many different people and business owners. And I think that's been the most creative of the work that I've gotten to do. So it's super satisfying.
It sounds like you did a lot of traveling with that. And that's where sometimes, you know, I guess your career can take you because, you know, if the subjects are in another city or even another country,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's all part of the job, right?
Yeah.
If you're someone that can travel with that.
Right? Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I really love taking an idea and then getting all the stuff to make it happen, like creating a space that reflects what they're looking for. We did a really cool shoot, like an Alice in Wonderland shoot in a big overgrown garden and found all these really neat vintage teapots and got, you know, clothing from vintage stores. And that kind of stuff is just really fun. And you can incorporate a lot of that into the branding work as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And the amount of effort that one would have to go through to maybe reach the level of photography, because, you know, I heard a story of a young girl. She just started a photography business and she made the right choice of going to this organization called BNI. And there she met a bunch of other business professionals, and she had her listing on the BNI website. And someone in another state saw her information and she gave her a phone call. And she says, and he says, basically, I want you to go and take some pictures from my mother that she lives in your city.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent it back. But that was just a test. And then he says to her, that was just a test to see how well you would do. It turns out, would you like to be the main photographer for like Microsoft or something?
Wow.
And she was like brand new. She didn't even have maybe 2 years of experience.
Mm.
And now she has this opportunity to work with it. So there's a great deal of networking, because you mentioned people get to know the person, and there's also this idea you had mentioned personal references. So if you're looking for a photographer, you always want to take advantage of the people that you know, okay? Because I know in my business, some of the best leads that I've gotten were from people that I already knew, not from advertising, not from spending a whole lot of money and doing anything, but just a word of mouth advertising.
Mm.
So since photography comes so much up into advertising, how competitive, I should say, is the photography when it comes to the advertising space?
It's really competitive.
How do you break through, though?
You have to. That's why I'm always adding new products. You know, I think green screen has really helped me. Like when I do a wedding, I'll take one of the best photos of a couple, I'll cut out the background, and then I'll give them 10 or 12, you know, beautiful like cathedrals or flower. Backgrounds, or you know, do something that's special. It just jumps out. I want them to show all their friends and say, "That's amazing," and then they'll hopefully book me for the next wedding too. So
differentiating yourself
exactly.
from all the typical,
exactly,
yeah, that special
kissing
touch.
Shot under the gazebo that
exactly.
they're going to blow up and put on their living room, like 5,000 other
exactly.
people in
or
town.
Silhouettes, silhouettes yeah. of people kissing are very popular, and we just
but
anything
making
to
it
make
different
it special.
Than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, now the. My experience with my little knowledge of photography goes as far as, you know, watching YouTube videos and little tips. Have you ever seen any of these videos? And
some of them are they great. Any good? Oh yeah, I'm always you know, diving in and looking for new things and new techniques. And you know, Photoshop is a vast program, and I mean, there's lots so many layers to it. It's made by like 50 people. And it's like really actually many programs in one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't might not know one particular piece of the puzzle, and you have to go look it up and figure it out.
I'm always calling a friend and going, do you know how to do this in Photoshop? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Exactly. Hey, do you know how to do
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The way programs are and the way developers are made, they're, the people that develop, you know, these products, these, you know, the Adobes and all the other program manufacturers, all of them there's got to be someone that has a vision of art somewhere in the developing team. And I say this in many of the shows, that there is always a gap between technical ability and then the art of it, or the knowledge of that particular
the
field.
The user side, yeah.
Right, the user side.
Creation, yeah.
So we as a matter of fact, we just had a doctor in here just last week, and we were talking about programs that help the medical field, and the same thing is true. A lot of the medical equipment has to be developed by someone who knows its application very, very well. And so you can have a very, very good programmer or someone that develops these programs to help photographers and to help, you know, the future of photography, but they don't know the art behind it. They're just doing programming, you know. But with that in mind, what do you feel the future for photography is? Because let me just start with that question, because I have a second question after that.
I think it's not going too well, mainly because everyone thinks they're a photographer. And the phones are kind of wrecking photography, in my opinion, but mainly because people think that the what they're doing with the camera, and there are some really nice phones, like the high-end iPhone, you know, iPhones, they actually take some pretty good pictures. I have to give them credit for that. And they're actually making feature-length films where they put a little a lens attachment on there because they can get a little better clarity and all that. But I'm discouraged because I see people thinking a snapshot is a real professional photo. And I think Sloan can tell you that it's a world of difference. The lenses, the lighting, the ability to edit the photo and make it look amazing.
Lighting is key.
Oh, absolutely.
And composition. Like
exactly. Just... You know, I studied art for years and years, oil painting and watercolor and pastel and charcoal. And that's what helped me become, better at photography, way better, because you know, the photography classes really didn't touch that enough. But it's all that fine art training that really helped me get to a higher level and understand what makes something beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's difficult with everybody's phones. But the most difficult part about it is that the masses don't expect more, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not looking for that super high quality. But that's where that whole thing comes in about really targeting your right clients, the people that appreciate the work that you do, and just they want the artist behind the camera and the lens. And yeah, so I think some of the phones take great pictures, but it's nothing compared to a
Absolutely.
Real camera. The depth
Absolutely.
Isn't there. It's the difference between digital music and a record player, right? So there's mm-hmm. those grooves, and it has the
pops and the snaps.
Yeah, it's so much richer. Mm-hmm. so much richer.
I have to agree with that. And I'm just discouraged that people think they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time that we're talking about all of these new developments in technology with the cameras and with the software, and there's so much you can do now with adding in layers and backgrounds, you kind of have to giggle because, you know, now they're also bringing back the old Polaroid, you know, and that's a cool new hip thing,
right,
is to have these instant ones, you know, and all the stuff that's hip retro, you know, to have a Polaroid type camera where you get the picture right away.
Yeah.
So we had, I'll tell you this much, the first time I saw drone photography, mm-hmm. have we all seen drone photography?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was this one video on YouTube where it looked like it was a raw video. You can see the blades of grass. It was just sitting in the grass. They hit the switch, went straight up, and And looking at the video, my heart, oh my goodness, that is so beautiful.
That's neat.
More and more people are starting to do this drone photography that are really technical, but aren't really photographers, but they just have this really cool ability to get these awesome shots mid-flight. Okay.
It's really a whole new art form.
Yeah, I don't really know that much about it.
We were going to have a guest today that does drone photography, but he wasn't able to make it. I'm hoping to get him on a future show. But
right.
It's an amazing achievement. I think they're better drone pilots than they are photographers. It's magical, and you can see them do it properly.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to see any of these footages of these drone photographies, they're just beautiful shots, and they can be added into your repertoire of what you're already doing. Sure. of your photography. Could you imagine, on a beach, think of a shot just sweeping over the beach, all the way, or any of the type of photography. A lot of branding companies, what they're doing is they're getting like a shot of like their entire crew. Mm-hmm. like it's a
from
crew.
Above.
How do you think? That's what they're doing. They're getting these drones and they're doing this pull away, right? So they get the CEO company, in this small frame, and then they pan out like really, really far, mm-hmm. like up into the sky, and then you see like they're building the trucks, the everything.
Yeah.
That's drone photography. That, branding. Man, that is huge. And by the way, if you're thinking about getting into drone photography, there are licenses involved because you're taking up airspace and you get into the whole FCC stuff, and you need licenses for those. So I don't know what some of them are in what some of the cases are in Tucson, but those are some of the things that that we need to that I'm looking forward for the future. So that is a budding technology. Any other technologies that you are looking forward to that you hope comes out, or that you wish that you're waiting to happen in the photography
industry? Well, everybody started 4K video, but I've heard, in Japan, they're working on 8K video cameras. I love the new developments of the Canon cameras in terms of resolution, like 32 megapixel cameras. I mean, the detail is crazy. If you're doing a really nice panoramic group shot at a wedding, you can actually see people's faces in detail. Nice. It's amazing, and it's just getting better. There's Hasselblad cameras that are 50 megapixels, just crazy.
I'm going to say this. I think we're getting a little bit ridiculous with the pixels and the 4K and 8K. Yeah.
And it's not all about the megapixels.
And even the satellites that are in space can take a picture of a quarter, mm-hmm. on the ground, okay? Those aren't even 8K or 4K.
No.
Those are what? I don't even know what they are. I think someone told me that those cameras are only 60 megapixels.
It's the lenses.
It's the lenses. Mm-hmm. There we have it. All right. So we got the professionals here in the studio today. To wrap up our show for today, we're with Sloan Enat with Sloan Enat Photography. 17 years experience. We're going to put her contact information in the show notes. Russell Johnson, A Perfect Look Photography. We're going to put his information on there. Sloan, you do have an Instagram, so we're gonna make sure we get that posted.
Thank you.
Russ, do we just have a phone number and email address for you?
And Facebook.
Okay, we'll make sure we get that put up in the show notes as well. Now, the everything that we talked about today, we hope to have more shows like this, and we encourage everyone to comment. In our next show, we're going to be posting what the subject matter is, and so that you can submit some of your questions that you would like to have the guests answered, and we'll have top level professionals here with us. More than likely, we are looking at doing a future show of technology in the automotive industry, technology in the travel industry, and also technology in...
We're definitely going to have to hit the beauty industry.
Beauty industry. Yeah, my co-host says we got to do beauty. Okay, so.
It's not just for women.
Well,
men are more interested in it all the time. The metrosexual men out there.
Well, and you know what? It's a technology. So we're running a tech show. So we want to thank our guests very much for being here with us today. Russell, thank you for, you know, he almost didn't even make it today. And the parking here at the studio, they're doing something special. So, you know. But hey, the show must go on, and we're here for you guys. Thank you very much for listening. This is Tucson Tech Talk with your hosts, Aaron and Sherry. We do wish you the best and good technology.